Welcome back to the Roundtable and to Book Picks, my favorite time of the week, my favorite day of the week, because we get to talk about books. This morning, we talk with our good friends Eve McNeil and Heather Boyne from Batten Kill Books in Cambridge, New York, for our book list. After spending lots of time reading and studying and looking over the gorgeous volumes that come in these really cool boxes that arrive at the store every day, they join us this Tuesday morning with a terrific list of books to share. Heather, Eve, good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Really well, yes.
Excellent. That is terrific. Okay, so who would like to begin?
I will begin. Eve here.
Go, Eve.
All right, so it's been a crazy season for incredible books, so it was no easy task to whittle down some of our favorite books. So I have chosen to whittle down to words, which really limits it down, but I'm looking at a couple poets. I am looking at An Unusual Dictionary and a wonderful book that incorporates wolves. The first book is called The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows, and don't let the title fool you. While I was very much drawn to it for its sad-sounding feel, it also has a lot of humor and joy, and it is literally a compendium of new words used to describe feelings, emotions, unusual, complex, contradictory emotions that it turns out we all feel at various points. I knew I was going to love this book when I opened it and saw the Stephen Wright poem, the Stephen Wright quote, rather. I read the dictionary. I thought it was a poem about everything. And that's kind of how I feel about this particular book, is that it's a bunch of words, and it is, like I said, describing these different kinds of emotions, and yet there's a poetry to it. There's also a wonderful solace in knowing that there's a word to describe that feeling, and more importantly, that other people have maybe felt something like that before. And I think that's where the jumping off point came for John Koenig in creating this, was that it started as a blog project, and he put out a word into the world, which was sonder. And that particular one was to describe the realization that each random passerby is living a life as vivid and complex as your own, populated with their own ambitions, friends, routines, worries, and inherited craziness, an epic story that continues invisibly around you like an anthill sprawling deep underground with elaborate passageways to thousands of other lives that you'll never know exist, in which you might appear only once as an extra sipping coffee in the background, as a blur of a traffic passing on the highway, as a lighted window at dusk. And that's just one of the examples that when he put that out there, people just went crazy. And I think that's when he realized this was a real project that could become a book. So to give you a few more little snippets of this wonderful compendium, I give you Onism, the frustration of being stuck in just one body that inhabits only one space at a time. I mean, who hasn't been there? A Newmont, the bittersweetness of having arrived here in the future, seeing how things turn out, but unable to tell your past self. And so this kind of gives you a sense of the flavor of this particular book. And it does give us that community of words. It makes us realize that while language is limited, it has these incredible combinations, and it's always growing because it is also creative. So that is why I just loved this particular collection. It's got wonderful quotes from poets, writers, thinkers, and it just has so many wonderful things to it that would make it a great gift for the book lover in your life.
The name of the book is The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows by John Koenig. Okay, Eve, next.
And the next two I'm going to treat as two that I'm going to dovetail together. It is Poet Warrior, a memoir by Joy Harjo, and Dear Memory by Victoria Chang. And again, a great couple of gifts that you could give to the poet, the writer, the maker, the thinker, the artist in your life, or just the person who loves all of those things as well. I don't know about you all, but I have been leaning very heavily into poetry in these difficult times. I lean into it very heavily at the best of times, and now I just feel like I'm laying on it, I'm wrapping myself in it, I'm seeking solace in the covers of books of poetry. And I love it when a poet will step out of poetry and move into the realm of another genre. And both of these dip back and forth between poetry and memoir. In the case of Joy Harjo, she is reconciling her past, her family, difficult struggles that she's gone through, as well as her ancestry and her membership, her identity as a Muskogee Creek Nation member. And she does this wonderful rhythm moving back and forth between recollecting stories and then giving us this wonderful running poem that is initially addressed to girl warrior, and at a certain point in the story, it changes to poet warrior, and this documents her movement into becoming a wordsmith, into becoming a poet, into finding her own voice. And I love the moments that you get to see in here between herself and her family, as well as seeing those words themselves emerge. So definitely check out Poet Warrior. And then along the same lines, but totally different creature, Dear Memory, Victoria Chang. This is a collection of letters that are addressed to various figures, mother, father, grandfather, granddaughter, and as well as teacher and various letters, so they're anonymous letters, woven through with her contemplating different poets and thinkers who have influenced and helped her to find her voice as a poet. And I just, again, this one is powerful. It really speaks to that space between memory and language and voice and how a poet comes to be. So I would definitely highly recommend Dear Memory, which, again, it's shot through with ephemera from her family history. So it's really a two-part piece between poetry and life story, really.
That book is Dear Memory by Victoria Chang, the previous book, Poet Warrior by Joy Harjo. Now bring on the wolves.
All right. This one I'll just hit in brief so we can get over to Heather's great picks. A book that came out in August, I cannot stop talking about it. I love everything that Charlotte McConaghy writes. This one, it is set in Scotland. There are wolves that are attempting to be rewilded. Our main character is charged with that, and she is really just a powerhouse of a writer, Charlotte is. And I love the way that she explores that crossover, the collision, the overlap between nature and humans. If you want to dip into and then explore and then lose yourself in a story, this is the book for you.
The name of the book is Once There Were Wolves by Charlotte McConaghy. All right. Heather, you are up.
Yep. All right. Now, you might think it's unusual to choose a book that deals with the topic of sadness for the holiday season, but hear me out. The holidays are supposed to be filled with happy memories and joyful times spent with our family and friends. The past 2 years dealing with COVID have shown us how difficult our lives can be when we may be forced to be apart from the ones we love. Even everyday work, school, and holidays can be stressful, and sometimes, well, it can be sad. A Shelter for Sadness by Anne Booth and illustrated by David Litchfield joins such classics as The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein and The Runaway Bunny by Margaret Wise Brown as books that speak to adults as much as they speak to children. Books like these transcend what we normally think of as a children's picture book, something that seems to be a trend in children's literature of late. Books that are actually dealing with universal themes that everyone, young or old or in between, can find inspiration and solace in. Anne Booth was inspired to write this book by the words of Eddie Hilsum, a Holocaust survivor who wrote, "Give your sorrow all the space and shelter in yourself that is due. For if everyone bears grief honestly and courageously, the sorrow that now fills the world will abate." In this story, a small boy creates a shelter for his sadness that takes the form of a swirl-like figure. The boy builds a safe space where sadness is welcome, where it can curl up small or be as big as it needs to be. The boy can visit the shelter whenever he wants to, maybe every day and sometimes even every hour. And the two of them will cry or talk or just sit and say nothing. It is a poignant and heartwarming book that explores the importance of making space and time for our grief. The beautiful illustrations help us to relate to sadness as an entity that must be acknowledged. And I would recommend this book for anyone going through a difficult time. It makes a hard subject really manageable, and it would be a beautiful gift.
The name of the book is A Shelter for Sadness by Anne Booth. All right, Heather,
all right.
Next up.
All right. The second book is The Provenson Book of Fairy Tales, and it's edited and illustrated by Alice and Martin Provenson. Now, this book was originally published in 1971, and they have reprinted it on its 50th anniversary. At Bat and Kill Books, we have a used book searching service that many of our customers take advantage of to find hard to find and out-of-print books. Now, I've searched for many books of this era for people looking to give a book that they had as a child to their grandchildren. All of us who had books illustrated by the Provensons in the 1970s, and there are many of them, have the opportunity to get copies, and just in time for the holidays. The Provenson Book of Fairy Tales is a treasury of tales from such great authors as A.A. Milne, Hans Christian Andersen, and Oscar Wilde. As it says in the foreword, the stories in this book are literary tales because they are consciously created stories, and they borrow from folk tales, but are given a new twist or dimension. There are clever retellings and newly imagined stories like Beauty and the Beast, The Prince and the Goose Girl, and The Lost Half Hour. Full of magic, ingenuity, and humor, this is a witty, modern descendant of Grimm's fairy tales. The illustrations are magical, distinctively styled with Alison Martin's pen, ink, and gouache drawings. Their artistic styles blended together so perfectly that for nearly 40 years, no one could distinguish who did the words and who did the pictures. In response to questions about the secret of their working methods, Alice simply said, "We were a true collaboration. Martin and I were one artist." Children's book historian Leonard Marcus once said, "They found the secret for success that few children's book illustrators and authors could equal." In January next year, 2022, a long-awaited monograph entitled The Art of Alice and Martin Provenson will also be published. So take this opportunity to get the Provenson Book of Fairy Tales for that special child in your life and get a copy for yourself. You'll be transported back to your childhood when nighttime stories made for magical dreams and really wonderful memories.
That sounds beautiful. The Provenson Book of Fairy Tales, edited and illustrated by Alice and Martin Provenson. All right, finally.
And finally, along the theme of magical images, this time for adults, for sure, I would like to recommend a book that jumped out of the box and into my hands when it arrived at the store. It's the Victorian Albert Sourcebook of Pattern and Ornament. This richly illustrated and easy-to-navigate sourcebook presents more than 1,000 historic and contemporary examples of pattern and ornamentation from around the world that are included in the V&A's vast collections. Arranged thematically, so like if you're looking for frogs or stars or flowers or books, which is unusual among pattern books, it includes examples of both surface pattern and three-dimensional ornamentation, so wallpapers, paintings, chairs, jewelry. Each entry is succinctly identified and explained. It's a research tour de force. Even those who may not think that they would enjoy an art book will discover images that they'll find interesting. This clever format makes it easy to see how different cultures create images of the same subject matter. It's beautiful and inspiring, and it's a book that begs to be picked up and flipped through again and again.
It is the Victoria and Albert Sourcebook, a pattern and ornament. All right, a great list from both of you. What else is going on that we should be aware of?
Well, Christmas in Cambridge starts this Friday, and we'll be open late to 8 o'clock on Friday and Saturday, and the Cambridge Parade is Saturday at 6 o'clock down Main Street. And we have an author signing event coming up on the 11th of December from 12 to 2, where Will Moses will sign his new book, The First Christmas, here at the store.
Wonderful stuff. All very getting ready for the holidays. A lot going on, a busy place. Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York. You can go to their website, battenkillbooks.com, or visit them right on Main Street in Cambridge. Eve and Heather, thank you so much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you both with us. Have a beautiful holiday season, and thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Be well.
All right.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Again, you can find out more at battenkillbooks.com, battenkillbooks.com. We also have the list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.